call to order the Monday, March 26, 2018 Finance Committee meeting. I would ask for a resolution for approval of the agenda. Mr. LaPierre, second. Mr. Hooper, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a motion for approval of the minutes of February 26, 2018. Mr. Denisha, second. Mr. Fay, Mr. Akers, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We start with a presentation from the Unified Court System Courthouse Security for the 4th Judicial District.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. Thank you to the board and County Manager Ruth Doyle for inviting me to speak tonight. My name is Chief David Joseph. I am the New York State Security Coordinator for the 4th Judicial District. Our district comprises of 11 counties and 9 cities. Most of our facilities are standalone courthouses. We do have some that are multi-use. This particular facility, St. Lawrence County, is unique to the rest of our district. And by unique, when you enter this facility, to get to any of the court types, be it Supreme, County, Family, or Surrogate, you have to go through MAG screening station. Most of our other facilities, you don't have that. When you come into the building, if you have to go to the DA's office, probation, whatever it may be, in most of our facilities, you go through screening when you enter. As a partnership with the county and in discussions with the county manager, the goal sought by both of our agencies is to provide vertical security for not only the court users and court personnel, but for the people of St. Lawrence County and for those that work in this facility. So vertical security, that simple term simply means providing security, securing a building from the top floor to the basement. It's also another term you might hear in some places called floor security. Some of our buildings, there's one building where the court is only on the 4th and 5th floor of a particular building, that's called floor security. But the term vertical is simply that. It's top floor to the basement. Over the past year, the courts have been able to upgrade the access control system in this building on the exterior doors of the facility, as well as upgrade the camera system that's in this building. It was a very outdated old analog system that's been updated and upgraded to IP networked cameras. So currently there are 7 entrances to the facility. Under a vertical security plan, 5 of those access points will be secured, where the main entrances to the building would leave 2 points. That would be this entrance right outside, the Supreme Court, Board of Legislators entrance, as well as the main entrance on the, by the north side parking lot. So right now we're still working through some operational issues and we'll continue to schedule meetings as we work through some of these. I think due to the tragic events that have been going on throughout our country the past several years now, actually. This is the right conversation to ultimately have to secure this facility moving forward. Thank you.
Move into presentation of resolutions. I would ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with Franklin County Highway Department for road salt. Mr. Denisha, Mr. Burke.
Thank you. Yes, the last few years we have been doing a cooperative bid with Franklin County to procure salt for highway uses for both counties and all the municipalities within both counties, with the exception of the state of New York. The current bid for this season on New York State OGS bid was $87 a ton. The cooperative bid with Franklin and St. Lawrence County was $50.04 a ton. I do recommend that we work together with Franklin County to secure that pricing. We have had some delivery issues as of late due to the salt storage area running dry in Ogdensburg. And that was a result of the shipment not getting in to due to the issues with the seaway and the high lake level and St. Lawrence River water levels. So we'll have a different contractor providing the service anyway, but that's something that we would certainly look to correct if it were the same contractor again.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
I neglected to mention that Mr. Forsyth is excused for tonight. So, I would ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign roadside mowing contracts. Mr. Arquette, Mr. Perkins.
Yes. This contract with the five towns that you see, the towns actually provide all the roadside mowing within the town on county roads. I have had a discussion with each one of the town highway superintendents in those towns, and they are in favor and are okay with keeping the rate the same as it was the prior year.
Any questions or discussion? Mr. Colbert.
Does that rate include, are they told how many times they have to mow it per year? That's
yes, it's twice.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Would ask for a motion for a resolution modifying the 2018 budget for the Department of Highways for Franklin Road Bridge over Big Sucker Brook replacement, bin 3342090, pin 775355. Mr. Akers, Mr. Layfoot.
Yes, this is to this resolution will allow us to cover the expenses for the for one part the betterment for the village of Waddington. We have an insulated water main going on the structure. However, the village wanted additional security of so they don't end up with a frozen main and have went with a heated water main, which New York State DOT and the Federal Highway Administration would not partner with. So that's a 100% share that will be reimbursed by the village. And then another portion was a portion of the steel inspection. We have to provide a firm to inspect the fabrication of the steel girders within the steel factory. So that's the other issue that we're a little over on. So. With these two changes, and again, within trying to do this within our existing highway department budget with the increased revenue from the village. But basically, this is would be it that we would need to modify the budget. This was not a project I anticipated having as well in our 2018 construction season, but with the difficulties the village was having with the water main, the existing water main burst, and some other structural issues, DOT saw fit to allow us to move this structure forward for this year.
Any questions or discussion? Mr. Akers.
I just wanted to thank Mr. Chambers for acting so rapidly and getting this done for the constituents in Waddington. Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a motion for a resolution approving federal aid bridge New York local project agreement for the construction phase for County Route 24 over the Grass River, bin 3363520, pin 775364. Mr. Denisia, second. Mr. Leader.
This structure is the large truss with in the hamlet of Russell itself on County Road 24. We were successful, the county was successful in getting Bridge New York funding, which means it's a 95% federal funds and a 5% local. This structure is currently out to bid, and we anticipate a bid opening on April 13th, and hopefully we can award shortly after so we can move right forward with this project as soon as possible.
Questions or discussion? Mr. Perkins.
Thank you. Do you know how long this project's going to take? I know there's just issues with the EMS on both sides.
Right. Well, at this point, I can't give you a schedule.
Roughly.
Because it's the contractor. That's that. But the goal is to have it open by the end of the year.
Other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
I would ask for a motion for a resolution modifying the 2018 budget for the Department of Highways for small equipment purchases. Mr. Akers, Mr. Arquette.
This transfer of funds is within the existing Highway Department budget to buy various smaller pieces of equipment that are under $10,000 in total price. I have obtained the written quotes necessary to do the procurement in accordance with the county's procurement policy. And this is also part of our longer range plans that I had put together for equipment replacement. Many of our small tools, and a lot of these are actually tools that are used by the two bridge crews. For the largest expenditures are for some welders that we also use as generators on the project sites. So some of them are getting very long in the tooth and are actually costing quite a bit to keep running and maintained. So looking to replace them this year.
Questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Carries. I would ask for a motion for resolution for authorization to create and fill a temporary labor position in the Department of Highways. Mr. Nunez and Mr. Burke.
Yes. Thank you. The labor position that I'm asking for is a new position. However, the individual that this would be replacing is out on extended medical leave and may or may not return. The person has been off since the middle part of October, and looking to get this position at least temporarily filled. If the individual does return from the medical leave, they do have rights to the position, and therefore that's why I'm asking for a temporary position that would be basically eliminated upon that person's return.
Any questions or discussion? Mr. Colbert.
Your temporary positions qualify for benefits?
Yes. Yes. This is a full-time position.
Other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
I would ask for a motion for a resolution for authorization to fill a heavy equipment operator position in the Department of Highways. Mr. Burke, Mr. Arquette.
Yes. This position was vacated due to retirement. With our staffing levels trimmed back as they are, it's really necessary to get this position filled as soon as possible. I would like to also add that within the union contract, if there are any applicants within the department that are suited for this position and they apply, that they actually have first dibs on the position. So likely this will be filled internally. In fact, every HEO's position that has vacated since I've been in employment with the county has been filled internally.
Questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing the Solid Waste Department Enterprise Fund to acquire a comprehensive insurance policy, authorizing the chair to sign the agreement, and modifying the 2018 budget for the Solid Waste Department budget. Mr. Akers, Mr. Lightfoot.
Yes, thank you. And there's been considerable discussion with the board regarding insurance coverage within the department, and the county attorney, I believe, secured the quote for this coverage. The amount would come out of what is being proposed to come out of the contingency account, and at this point we have $82,680 in our contingency account within the Solid Waste Department and within the annual budget, which would leave $57,940 remaining in the contingency budget. The insurance, I believe here, it says a blanket for building and contents is $2,445,000. Earthquake coverage is $1 million, and flood in any location in the following flood zone, is $1 million for basically flood. The blanket building and contents has a deductible of $5,000, whereas the other earthquake and flood are $50,000 each.
Questions or discussion? Mr. Lightfoot.
Is there any coverage for the vehicles provided in this?
Yes, there is. Actually, I forwarded on to all of the legislators a copy of the policy quote and proposal. If you scroll down, there is a section entitled Automobile Insurance. The limits for a combined single limit for bodily injury and property damage is $1 million. There is also personal injury protection. There's also added personal injury protection of $50,000 and $100,000 collectively. There is medical payments per person also included in that auto coverage, and uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage included in the quote.
If I may, is that just the rolling stock, or is that the earth moving equipment and whatnot included?
Actually, if you scroll down past that point, you'll see that the list of our number of vehicles are also included. And
I don't have it in front of me.
In the email that I forwarded on to you from our broker, they identified that originally we had one trailer that was double listed. So they were removing that trailer, and they were hoping that that might have some impact, albeit minimal, on the actual book. But all of our vehicles that are on the book.
Okay. Thank you.
Any additional questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
I would ask for a motion for a resolution setting a date for a public hearing on the proposed local law D, number to be determined, for the year 2018, setting policy on acquisition and sale of tax delinquent property in St. Lawrence County. Mr. Burke, second. Mr. Arquette.
Good evening. As this board is aware, annually the county attorney's office, in conjunction with the treasurer's office and the real property office, moves forward with the execution of our local law provisions for the tax sale and auction of properties that we have seized by way of foreclosure. The local law that you have in front of you should look familiar, because this board has previously acted on this local law. There are some modifications, though, that are being brought before this board to rescind the prior local law and enact this one, specifically because this board at this point is exploring the option of contracting out for the auctioning services for the sale of the tax foreclosed property. If you will turn your attention to the local law, you will note that there are three specific provisions that we are actually adding in or removing. In Section 7, there was an additional sentence that was believed to be superfluous. That has been removed. In Section 9 and Section 10, you will see that the additional language has been added that references the auctioneer's fees, the buyer's premium, and advertising fees that may be charged as a part of the auction service that could be provided by any third-party vendor. That was made uniform in both Section 9 and Section 10 so that those costs could actually be passed on to any successful bidder at the time of auction.
Any questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a motion for a resolution and for authorization to fill a traffic safety information specialist position in community services. Mr. Burke. Second. Mr. Akers.
Traffic safety information specialist was who was previously employed recently retired. This position was actually put on hold to look at whether it was a half-time or a full-time position, and it was decided that it was indeed a full-time position. It is 100% grant funded. The bulk of this position is aimed at providing chair safety seats to the community, car child safety seats, but it also addresses all aspects of traffic safety. That could be bike and pedestrian safety, motorcycle safety, aggressive driving, occupant restraints, older driving, younger driving safety, winter driving, and risky and distracted driving. So there's a lot of public relations with this position, kind of getting the word out with regards to public safety in traffic.
Any questions or discussion? Mr. Colbert.
I see on the vacancy authorization form, it does say it's 100% reimbursed, but it does have a net county cost amount in there. Should that be removed?
Yes, that will be removed, yes.
Other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Would ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign contracts for community services. Mr. LaPierre. Second. Mr. Leader.
So here are the list of the agencies that get state aid or pass-through funds. They get monthly checks. This is the yearly amount that each of these contracted agencies received, and we're asking for authorization for the chair to sign these contracts.
Any questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
There was some interest in, you know, who receives the pass-through funds, so this is a complete list of those providers.
Would ask for a motion for a resolution modifying the 2018 budget for community services for funding received from the Office of Mental Health and the Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services. Mr. Burke. Second. Mr. Arquette.
Okay. These changes were due to cost of living and the minimum wage increase is why that these appropriations have been increased. The ones that have been decreased is because they downsized those particular programs.
Questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with IMA Systems LLC for revenue cycle management and modifying the 2018 budget for community services. Mr. Burke, Mr. Perkins.
In order to handle our billing volume, community services would most likely have to hire another account clerk. And there would be, you know, some step up time in terms of training, get that person on board. IMA is currently going through our EHR right now and is aligning the payers and changing the codes and restructuring that system. And in that process, you know, there's been, you know, more difficulties, and it's a little more problematic than we anticipated. So I just feel that in order to right the ship at this point, be more expeditious in this endeavor that it would make sense for us to hire them for 6 months to kind of get us, you know, back where we need to be in terms of receiving the revenues that we bill the insurances for.
Any questions or discussion? Mr. Hooper.
Are you anticipating that after 6 months you would have this this additional clerk trained and ready to go? This is a stopgap measure, I take it.
Well, we haven't fully decided whether it's going to be a stopgap or whether, you know, we would continue, you know, the contract with them. If we do it for an extended period of time, it becomes less expensive. And right now, the cost difference between hiring someone on an annual basis in this contract is about $10,000.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a confidentiality agreement with the North Country Behavioral Health Care Collaborative. Mr. Burke, second. Mr. Perkins.
If you recall, back in the fall, we had a choice to choose between NCI, i.e. Jefferson County Children's Home, and Citizen Advocates. Both applied for lead agencies for the Behavioral Health Care Collaboratives. And it was decided by this body that we were going to go with Citizen Advocates. And since that time, I've been attending meetings along with all the other providers in the network. The BHCC has hired consultants and counsel in an attempt to establish a business structure for this network. This resolution, as we're moving forward, we've been asked by the Behavioral Health Care Collaborative to sign a confidentiality agreement because of the proprietary information that's being discussed at those meetings. I've asked James Button, who is the interim CEO of Citizen Advocates, to talk further on this matter.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you for allowing me to share with you some of the information associated with the Behavioral Health Care Collaborative. As Jay mentioned, my name is James Button. I am the Chief Operating Officer and Acting CEO for Citizen Advocates. I just brought along with me a brief slide deck. This will take between 5 and 7 minutes for me to go through. I think it's important to lay a context for this body in an effort to help you decide or make a fully informed decision on whether or not you would authorize the signing of a confidentiality agreement, but more so it has greater implications for the county moving forward. So if you'll allow. First and foremost, I just wanted to explain to you Citizen Advocates. Citizen Advocates is a mental hygiene provider. We have comprehensive services that we offer in mental health, addictions, substance abuse, and services for intellectual and developmentally disabled individuals. We have about a $40 million operating budget. We have a workforce of about 750, and we offer 135 programs in largely Franklin County, but also connected counties around Franklin County. A little bit about prevalence and pace and causality, if you will. On the page with the blue graph, just important point is that 1 in 5 Americans suffer from mental health issues. Some estimates in the North Country place it at 1 in 4, so there's certainly a prevalence of mental health issues that exist in the North Country, and we have pulled together to do a little bit to address it. With regard to medical spend, which is going to be an important component of the Behavioral Health Care Collaborative, the next page will show you the mental health conditions have outpaced even heart conditions and cancer as being the largest medical spend condition that exists. So the bottom line is prevalence and pace continue to escalate. If you turn the page to the blue chart, we have speculate, we hypothesize that much of this medical spend and behavioral health prevalence is because there's been inadequate attention paid to coordinated care. Many providers work in silos, and while that is wonderful for a competitive market, the patient, the population, is hurt in healthcare. So we also feel that there is an inadequate attention on behavioral health and the role of social determinants. For those members of this community who aren't aware what social determinants are, really these are examples of social determinants. So just so you're aware, we believe that very little has to do with the quality of care that one receives in a sterile environment. It's more so related to employment, housing, access to literacy, vocational training, access to food security, social integration, and access to health care. So the BHCC project is being pulled together to address it. On the next page, you'll see a map of what our region looks like. Our region roughly spans from Glens Falls north up to Champlain, inclusive of the communities of Plattsburgh and Essex County. It comes all the way west to Ogdensburg, inclusive of Governor, Messina, Canton, Potsdam, Saranac Lake, and all parts in between. In January, we were the Behavioral Health Care Collaborative was awarded $1.725 million to pull together what we would call a regional approach to behavioral health and social determinants. And we've worked closely with providers from all five counties that are identified. I believe that we have every single behavioral health provider in this region signed up for this initiative. The next page, which has, the next page talks a little bit about what we are trying to build. We call it an IPA. It's an independent practice association. It's essentially a quilt of providers who are combining to coordinate quality care. I think that I'll just end on the page after that, which is really where St. Lawrence County comes in. This is an opportunity for St. Lawrence County to collaborate within this quilted network of providers. The value proposition is that we would improve regional health outcomes. We would reduce the expenditures that we are making on people with behavioral health issues. And we feel that working together will allow us to leverage our collective power to create profitable contracts for every provider in the network. In terms of activities to date, St. Lawrence County, as Mr. Ulrich has alluded, St. Lawrence County has participated not only in the meetings, but has had direct input on the creation of this independent practice association. And our next steps are that we would ask respectfully if there would be a resolution to sign off on the confidentiality agreement.
Any questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
I would ask for a motion for a resolution calling on the Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services and the Governor of the State of New York to provide state funding to support the treatment and transition services to individuals with substance use disorders, SUDs, who are incarcerated in county correctional facilities. Mr. Burke, second. Mr. Perkins.
Okay. The Conference of Mental Hygiene Directors have lobbied strongly in Albany to get funding passed for substance use disorder treatment in the county jails. It's one of the, in terms of the golden thread of treatment and trying to provide treatment across, you know, the broad brush of what communities need, it's kind of been a black hole that we just haven't been able to provide, or haven't been able to get funding to provide services in the county jails across the state. So this resolution is an act of solidarity to show that we are in support that the House and the Senate approve of appropriations for substance use disorder treatment in the jails. It's my understanding that the Senate is supporting $12.8 million and that the House is supporting $4 million at this point.
Any questions or discussion? Mr. Burke. Been waiting on the warrant.
Do you have any data on the correlation between the reason for incarceration and the substance abuse problem itself?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of criminal behavior that's generated by addictive urges and, you know, the wanting to obtain illicit drugs. I think there's also quite a bit of recidivism because of that. A lot of the people that we're seeing in county jails have substance abuse problems and keep coming back to county jail for, you know, sometimes not heinous crimes, but, you know, consistently coming back because they're shoplifting or doing things to support their habit.
Any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing comment to the Department of Conservation, DEC, on the draft St. Lawrence Rock Ridge Unit Management Plan for snowmobile trails and the multi-use countywide trail system. Mr. Arquette, Mr. LaVier. Would either of you like to address this? Or? Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. County Administrator's report.
Yes, in your mailboxes this evening, you should have all gotten your copy of the 2018 legislative agenda, which was delivered weather appreciated, a sunny day on to Albany last week, and meetings held with our senators collectively. Senator Ritchie hosted, Senator Little and Senator Griffo. We had the opportunity to discuss. We focused, because we adopted 12 items this year, which is double what we've done in prior years, we focused on three main areas and then found our way to one other. We talked about the CHIPS contracts. We focused on the EMS services and the designation that they require, as well as the direct insurance reimbursement. And then the treatment in jails, which you've just seen in the resolution that the local mental hygiene commissioners conference is also supporting. So those were areas we were able to talk with them about, as well as the granting authority for pistol permits. We then were able to meet with Assemblywoman Jenny and Assemblyman Butler together. We had an opportunity to meet and go over a number of the issues on the agenda. We probably handled about eight with them. And then we were able also to find some time with Assemblyman Jones as well as Assemblyman Blankenbush. So we actually were able to, though our schedule hadn't planned on it, meet with all of our representatives at one point or another during the day. Our meeting with the governor's office was canceled and is being rescheduled for this week. But we were able to understand the pressures of the budget, how they're looking to extract some of the policy issues so that the budget can hopefully be done by Thursday evening before folks leave for the holiday weekend, and to really understand the challenges that they have in trying to reach consensus on some of the important issues. So we're hopeful that they've heard our message. We've certainly given them the information. If they have any questions, we've encouraged them to reach out both to us and to any of you folks to have those discussions. So they were very welcoming and certainly invited us back. Wanted to let you know that I am going to request, as you voted this evening, on the highway resolution for the Russell Bridge. As Don mentioned, he's out to bid. We would like to ask for a special board meeting on April 23rd. That would allow him, if those resolutions pass, to move forward on the schedule that he's attempting to keep in this project that, as we all know, was unexpected. So if the board would grant the special board meeting, we will plan accordingly. Last Thursday, we met Legislator Fay and met with the town, the village of Canton, as well as Legislator Lightfoot and Akers, talked with the comprehensive plan that's being created by the town and the village of Canton and the village of Rensselaer Falls with regard to their efforts with and without the county, understanding that the options range in everything from working together to co-locate space to also look at sand and salt storage, facilities, as we've talked about in years past. With new administration, I think getting more comfortable in place at the town level, able to have some of those discussions. They're looking to wrap that up about May or June and have invited us also to participate in that process once it concludes. We talked about the co-location of office space, as I said. They aren't at any point right now ready to commit to that. I think those are some internal discussions they have to have. But certainly we made known options that are available from the county perspective, as well as our willingness to work with them on many initiatives. So I think that was a very productive time spent Thursday morning. I am working, as I mentioned to you last month, on the committee for the review of salaries, and look to next month to bring you back that recommendation to determine how you'd like to proceed. So we'll see that in April rather than in March.
Will that be at finance?
Yes, at finance. And I appreciate your patience as I've been working through this process. The RFP for the provision of the auctioneer services, as you heard in the resolution for setting the date for the public hearing, that will come forward after at finance next month, which will also be provided the resolution appointing their selected auctioneer service. So that will work together to be adopted in May, which I think will leave us enough time with the auction coming up in September to get the notices out and make sure everyone's aware of their selection and to move forward with the local law in place. And next month, you'll have your first quarter of 2018 already concluded, and as well as the next treasurer's report. Any questions?
Thank you. On to old business, which we've got a couple of resolutions. I would ask for a motion for a resolution urging New York State to renew a commitment to fully fund the state share of community college costs and to fully fund the cost of the Fashion Institute of Technology, George Becks. Mr. Denisha, Mr. Perkins, Mr. Akers.
Thank you. I don't intend to really beat a dead horse up here, but this board is already completely aware that for several years now, we have lamented the fact that despite state law that indicates that the state is supposed to provide a portion of the community college chargeback costs to reimburse the communities for what they provide for the local residents, that number has dwindled over the course of several decades. Under the law, the state is supposed to provide essentially one-third of all of the costs associated with the community college operation. And for those counties that don't have a community college, they are supposed to provide one-third of the reimbursement expenses so that those students may attend community colleges elsewhere. One of those particular community colleges is the FIT, or the Fashion Institute of Technology. Fairly expensive university down in the New York City area. Despite the fact that state law indicates that the state has an obligation to provide us reimbursement to a one-third level, they have not done so. And in fact, in this year's proposed budgets, it appears that they will reduce their share once again. In 2010, one of the counties actually sued the state, and the lawsuit resulted in an opinion from the court that indicated that the state was only obligated to reimburse counties to the extent that they had budgeted appropriations as a part of that annual appropriation process, the budget process, which is going on right now in Albany. What that really translates to is if the state doesn't put money aside in that year, they don't necessarily have to hand it out to the counties with respect to this reimbursement. That has left counties and really the local municipalities having to deal with the expense of community colleges despite what state law states. There are bills that have been introduced in both the Assembly and the Senate calling for the state to appropriate the accurate amount of money to make the counties whole and make the local towns and villages whole. But as it stands right now, those bills have not moved forward. This resolution would call for fully funding of that state share.
Any questions or discussion? Mr. Akers.
Well, it's just an example. I mean, we're looking at possibly looking into the building of a juvenile center and wondering whether or not that the state is going to fulfill its promises for 100% reimbursement, and the money would come from us up front. So we have an example. This is a law that was on the books from, the early 70s, and we know from longer than that. So we know that just from the Fashion Institute of Technology that
St. Lawrence County is due about $400,000, and that's just since the early 90s. So I don't know how we can move forward on a juvenile center with these type of promises. It's one thing to have it in the state law and in the statute form, but then if the legislative body doesn't provide or the governor doesn't provide for it in the budget, then you're out of luck. In that court case where the county did challenge and the court ruled, well, it's not in the budget, tough luck. So I think we would be really remiss about moving forward without certain guarantees and commitments.
Any other questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a motion for a resolution requesting the state of New York to enact Assembly Bill A3055 and Senate Bill S7006-B regarding the right of an accused to a speedy trial. Mr. Perkins, second. Mr. Akers.
Thank you. As I think everyone in this room is aware, under the United States Constitution, an accused in a criminal proceeding enjoys a right to a speedy trial. Really ambiguous term, but New York State took it upon itself quite a few years ago to codify what they mean as a speedy trial, or the timelines with which a criminal prosecution must be brought. Those timelines are actually laid out in the resolution that is before you, but there are several situations that have recently come to light, when I say recently, over the course of the past few years, where these timelines have not necessarily been complied with, and the reason why they have not been complied with is because buried within that codified statute, or CPL 3030, Criminal Procedure Law 3030, there are exceptions to the timeline that will allow the clock to essentially toll, or the time to stop. And one of them in particular is known as the readiness rule. The readiness rule indicates that if a prosecutor appears in any criminal proceeding and merely announces verbally that the people are in fact ready for trial, regardless of whether or not they have their witnesses, or they have their evidence secured, or if they have managed to actually prepare all of their necessary paperwork, the clock stops. What that looks like on the ground for not only the accused, but for the individuals who are representing the accused and for the court system itself, is that now, having stopped the clock, those individuals can be held theoretically indefinitely until such time as the court moves to schedule the matter for trial. This has resulted to a certain extent in many individuals being held in our jails much longer than the number of days that have been identified as the speedy trial codified rules indicate. The bill that has been introduced is known as Caliph's Law. It's been introduced both in the Senate. It's been introduced in the Assembly as well. Caliph's Law is named after a gentleman named Caliph Browder. Caliph Browder was a young man who was arrested down in New York City, was placed in a jail, sat in that jail for a significant period of time, if I recall correctly, approximately 400 days. This was on a felony charge. He was brought before the court, refused a plea offer. The people once again announced ready for trial, so the clock continued to stop. He ultimately ended up spending approximately 1,000 days in jail before they arrived at court for purposes of the trial, and the district attorney at the time indicated that they did not have the evidence necessary to secure conviction and released him. Shortly thereafter, Mr. Browder, who had developed a significant amount of depression as a result of having been incarcerated for the period of time, despite the fact that he was ultimately acquitted of the offense, committed suicide. This bill would address the readiness rule, and what it would address would be it would allow the court, sua sponte, or on its own initiative, to make an inquiry of the prosecutor when they declare readiness, and just ask them the state of the evidence, ask them the state of the witnesses. If the court determines that the witnesses and the evidence are in place, then obviously the readiness rule will still hold. But if the court makes a determination that the declaration of readiness was merely illusory, that it was not in fact a true statement of the prosecutor being ready to move forward, then the clock will continue to tick. This naturally would have an impact on county operations because it would shorten, most likely, the length of time in which people would be held from the date of arraignment to the date of trial. And it would move the process, force the courts to move the process along in the manner in which the statute currently envisions in the timelines that I've identified.
Questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Just as a quick update on these bills, the Assembly has almost unanimously passed their section, but the Senate is still debating on theirs, and as it stands right now, the budget does not include these criminal justice reforms.
As part of old business, we have a discussion on the Amish buggy slow-moving vehicle signage. Mr. Denisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As most everyone is aware, in 2015, I brought forward a resolution requesting the State Commissioner of Motor Vehicles to require the Amish to have a triangular slow-moving vehicle sign on the back of their buggies, wagons. And, you know, and it was, obviously that was, it was not due to any bias against the Amish, rather it was as a safety initiative, safety for the Amish and safety for a motoring public. There was a obviously a great deal of discussion, and the resolution was ultimately tabled, and you know, there was a great deal of work that went into that project, if you will. Legislator Lightfoot, Sheriff Wells, Senator Ritchie, state troopers, myself, two or three Amish bishops, and you know, we spent a number of times, and it was always rainy, as I remember, and we thought we had come to a very good compromise. And the compromise was to increase the square inches of coverage on the buggies from 72 inches to 144 inches. It was also, it called for adding a 6-inch stripe of reflective tape on the fills, which is actually it's the wooden part that attaches the buggy to the horse. And some additional reflective tape on the upper right-hand corner of the buggy, so that if they were making a left-hand turn, oncoming motorists would be better able to see. And we thought we really had something. Let's say it was a lot of hard work. We actually had one of the buggies that we had mocked up at Mr. Miller's farm, and it was amazing, the difference. It was like day and night. And so we left there, you know, feeling that we had a compromise, and it didn't come to fruition. Some of the Amish chose to do it, some of them did not. Fast forward to 2018, over the last few months, we've had a couple of very, very serious motor vehicle Amish buggy accidents. One of them actually actually resulted in the death. And you know, and again, as I've said to Ruth, I've talked to some of my fellow legislators and a number of my constituents. You know, and I just can't, in good conscience, stand idly by. As I said, this is not in any way bias toward the Amish community, but rather it's an attempt to make our motoring public safer and our Amish community safer.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Mr. Lightfoot.
I'd just like to, and I've discussed this with Larry, is to take the opportunity to go back to Mose Miller and the other bishops, and in light of these these couple of these accidents that have occurred, that perhaps some of the Amish community that didn't feel that they really needed to put additional reflective strips on their buggies, that they might take a different view of it now in light of what's happened, and give them the opportunity before we're put in a position, and I don't mean this legislature, but law enforcement in this county, to take some measures to enforce the laws, to hopefully bring the Amish into compliance with what the laws are for their sake as well as the sake of the motoring public. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Mr. Lanisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. After Legislator Lightfoot and I spoke, I agree that it's worth another shot to go back to the bishops and tell them that we'd like to get together again, see if we can get them back to the table, see if we can get some movement on this.
Thank you. Mr. Arquette.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Could you refresh my memory, Larry? Did the resolution, I think that group that you met with were opposed to the triangle, if I'm not mistaken. So it, in my district, they embraced the triangle. Most of the Amish buggies have that. Did the local law read that there had to be so many square inches on there in addition to the triangle, or what does the triangle do for the folks in my district?
What the triangle was, and we have a different, the Amish community that we have here in this part of the county are a different sect, I guess, if you will. They're the Schwartz and Truber, I believe. And they had an objection to the triangular sign and the color because of religious objections. So the compromise that we arrived at was in lieu of the triangular slow-moving vehicle sign, that we would double the reflective material from 72 square inches on the back to 144. It wasn't exactly what we wanted, but we felt it was a good compromise.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Mr. Lightfoot.
Our topic?
Bring it on.
Raise the age. Maybe this is more of a committee report. It's okay to do it here, but okay. The Raise the Age Committee met, I think, for the third time today. And the committee's collaborated to put together a draft document which identifies positions, equipment, and other costs needed to address the additional caseloads that we anticipate as a result of the initiation of the Raise the Age law this coming October. And actually, what we did was look at the Raise the Age law in two ways. One, as providing a service, the service that I'm just talking about, and the other one, providing a facility. With regard to the facility, the county or the counties are responsible for funding the cost of a new facility if, in fact, we were to sign on to the law the way it is currently written. The state says that they will pay the cost of borrowing in the form of a reimbursement for costs associated with the construction of a facility or for the additions that somebody that already had a facility would need in order to comply with the law. They attach some restrictions on that, one of them being that you have to remain at the tax cap or under. that they deem the costs associated with acquisition, if we were to do that, must be approved by the division of the budget. Funding of, and they go a step further and say state programs, which this is a state program, make no mistake, are covered under the annual budget as authorized by the state constitution. It goes on further to say that the state is legally committed to reimbursing raise the age costs as is possible. If that doesn't raise a red flag to anybody, you're colorblind. Going a step further, the state has a rather anemic record in remaining faithful to their financial commitments to not just St. Lawrence County, but all the counties. A case in point was brought to light here by Mr. Akers just a few minutes ago. I've got those listed. I won't be redundant and go over them again. But one of the other ones was the reduction in the amount of reimbursement that counties are supposed to receive according to a law still on the books, in the amount of 50% for probation officers. That amount over the years has been reduced to where it is now 12%. The law is still on the books, though. The state has seen fit to overlook that, I would assume. The other big one is safety net, the safety net program in social services. Was supposed to be a 50-50 reimbursement. As it stands right now, the county's share of that 50-50 reimbursement is 71%. Safety net is paid for 71% by the counties. 29% of that amount is reimbursed, where the law says it's 50-50. In addition to that, after 5 years of somebody being on a safety net, that disappears from the federal government. They opt out. They no longer pay any of that money that had previously become to the states and the counties. After an additional 2 years, that is 7 years, the state has seen fit to say, we're out of this. You've been on it long enough, we're out of it. But counties, you have to assume 100% of that cost. And oh, by the way, you can't opt out. So the committee, Raise the Age Committee, that met at last this afternoon, has come to the conclusion and the recommendation to this committee and to the board when the time comes that we should put this on hold. We should table this. There's no formal resolution to table, but rather than tell the state, no, we don't want to do this, we're hoping and thinking that the state of New York might take a different view of how they want to finance these things. And one of the other things that they might want to look at, for instance, an Augsburg City legislator brought up question to me over the weekend. Why don't you look at the Psych Center property in Augsburg? It is already been turned into a correctional facility with a prison, a violent sexual offender place. There's plenty of land down there. It's not on the tax rolls. It could be used for such a facility. The utility facilities are already there. It isn't like going out and having to spend taxpayer money that they say they will reimburse the county for to find some chunk of land somewhere that we're going to take off the tax rolls. So there's a lot to think about, and there's a lot that could be done by the state of New York if they took another look at this. Ergo the recommendation of the committee that we table this and hope that the state of New York, and encourage the state of New York, to take another look at a a proper way to finance something like this, and to ensure to us that after 20 years, when this building's going to need a new roof, that there is going to be money available from the state to take care of it. This is their facility. We've got to build it, but it's their facility as a result of a law they enacted and put into place in such a short period of time that if we started building it today, it would never get constructed in time for this, when this law takes into effect. So I'm sorry I got too little long-winded, but any questions?
Would you like to?
Thank you.
And just to supplement that briefly, I think Mr. Lightfoot has made it clear that we're not foreclosing the option of discussing things further with the state, and we hope that we can discuss things further with the state. But I think Mr. Lightfoot made it clear that at this point it is the recommendation of the committee that we take a step back from development of the facility until such time as the two primary components, the long-term funding as well as the coupling with the state tax cap, are addressed appropriately. As Mr. Lightfoot identified, there were two prongs to the analysis that the committee approached. One was with respect to the facility. The second was with respect to the ancillary services that will be called upon in order to handle the overflow that will be created as a result of Raise the Age. Obviously, we have multiple departments within the county that will be implicated. You have your Sheriff's Department for transportation. You have your Department of Social Services for caseworker services, as well as transitionary services and placement of the youth in facilities. We have the probation department that will have supervision requirements within the community. We have our community services that will be impacted through the mental health services that they will need to provide, because I think, as you heard earlier, St. Lawrence County has a significantly large prevalence of mental health issues within the county. And the county attorney's office, which handles the prosecutions of the JDs and PINs, as well as the newly created AO and some JO offenders, will have to be handled. So in meeting with the committee, we tried to identify how those services would in fact be impacted and identify the extent of the increases in staffing levels that we would require in order to accommodate those changes. The committee met and reviewed the document, and I can identify that right now, as the document stands, we have identified 21 positions. Having had a discussion with the district attorney, I anticipate that will increase to 23 positions. Right now, without the inclusion of the district attorney's increasing in staff for probation, community services, the Department of Social Services, the Sheriff's Office, and for the county attorney's office, we're anticipating that those positions will equate to essentially $1.9 to $3 million per year in increased reimbursement. That also includes the additional programming that will be required to assist these youth. As I know you've already heard, last year there were approximately 36 to 38 youth that went through this process. And looking at the jail records, we had 20 16 and 17-year-olds, two females, 18 males that were incarcerated that would have fallen in this range. The state estimates that our county alone will probably see an increase of approximately 112 additional cases that will be prosecuted annually. So that has an impact on all of these various departments. The executive summary that has been prepared identifies the extent of the cost of those positions as well as the cost of the programs. The executive summary also loosely references the committee's decision and the justification for why at this point that we are pausing the discussion on the development of the juvenile detention center. I want to make clear regarding that also, we do enjoy at this point the support of three of our neighboring counties. We have received letters of support, so we are mindful that this process involves others, and I think the committee is very clear that we want to do right by our neighbors, but I think Mr. Lightfoot accurately identified that we must also do right by our constituents and not overcommit the county financially without assurances from the state that 20 years from now we won't be funding a building or funding positions that we don't have control over and the state doesn't honor their obligation. also included in the plan, it's a 41-page plan, lays out essentially the chronological timeline for how we came to these conclusions. And I think there are two things that are of importance for both the direction of development of the plan as well as the decision to table the discussion on the development of the juvenile detention center. During the development of the plan, the committee had an opportunity to meet with a former Westchester County employee who was responsible for managing their juvenile detention center. And during the discussion with that former Westchester County employee, she advised us that as it stands right now, the state has an obligation to provide certain reimbursables. And those reimbursables have not been met many times. And that has contributed to what was identified, I believe, last year to be approximately a $4 million budget deficit at that juvenile detention center. In addition, this employee identified significant concerns with the limitations and regulations constantly changing coming from the oversight organizations. Under the new Raise the Age plan, the state envisions us submitting this plan to the Office of Children and Family Services, who will then submit it to the Division of Budget under the executive. The Division of Budget will approve it, but then any facility that is created has to be overseen by the State Commission on Corrections as well as the Division of Budget as well as the Office of Children and Family Services with the potential help of the Dormitory Authority. And I'll tell you, when I was going through all of the acronyms, it sounded like alphabet soup. But given the number of entities and given the amount of regulations, that gave the committee quite a bit of pause regarding moving forward. In addition, during the time period in which the committee was meeting, we received a letter submitted by Erie County. Erie County was looking at the potential of expanding their current facility past the potential for 60 beds. They are one of the largest, if not the largest, juvenile detention center in the state. And they expressed the same concerns that I believe Mr. Lightfoot has made very clear tonight, which is that in the absence of having long-term assurances, the committee and Erie County did not feel that they could justify potentially endangering the financial well-being of their constituency.
Any further discussion? Mr. Colbert.
These positions that need to be added, whether we build a facility here or not, we're going to have to add most of those positions anyways, correct?
That's correct. And our intention is to submit the plan with the expanded positions that would supplement the current practices and really move us in a direction of alternatives to detention. The plans, as it stands right now, envision the county trying to continue the model that we have really developed and fairly successfully, where we have managed to keep a lot of youth out of secure detention environments, fully anticipating that there are others at times that will most likely wind up in secure detention. But should we manage to find a separate solution with the state, it's anticipated that both the facility and the positions associated with that facility would also have to be addressed.
Any additional discussion? Okay, thank you. Seeing none, is there any other old business to come before the committee? Is there any new business to come before the committee? I understand we do have need for executive session for negotiations, litigation, personnel of a specific nature, and appointments, and we are asking the representatives of the Unified Court System to join us for the first part of executive session. Do I have a motion to go into executive session? Mr. Hooper, second. Mr. Lightfoot, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Executive session.